This morning, folks, we're going to be talking about the Spirit, and we're going to be talking about the beginning of the church and how, when the beginning of the church in Acts, how it started. We know that they had problems, they had issues, and they had many things that we have today. But the thing that they done a little different than what we're doing is that they all sold everything they had, put their money, give their money to their people that watched over them, their elders, and they took care of everyone. And I can't really imagine how that would be, but I would think that it would be really good to live in a community where everyone got along, everyone was on the same playing field, and it would just be a time that all we would need to do would be to worship God. That's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, folks. We're not going to have the rich and the poor and the medium class. We're going to all be on the same playing field. The Holy Spirit is as much alive today as it was then, folks. This morning is a prime example. I had thought I'd call Brian to see what it would cost me to get him to put 32 up there. And I didn't. I said, he's going to kill me if I call him, tell him he needs to redo that. So I didn't. I said, I'm just going to read it anyway without it being on the screen. Now, this morning I get here and he said, hey, I put it up there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the Holy Spirit that works between us and shows us and teaches us. And so if we're listening, we are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't listen, and be kind of like I was with Elroy, it didn't matter. We just done kind of what we wanted to do and paid the consequences. And there's consequences to it too, brother. Let me tell you. So we know that, don't we, JT? Amen. But this morning, folks, as we think about the church and how it got started, you know, at a small group the other night, we were talking about unity and the unity in the people that when Paul was teaching us and how they were unified and how the unity of the church is so important to us today. Almost every church you go to, almost every time you see a church, you see people that are distraught about this or that or that carpet, you know, that they put down out there. You didn't even ask me, Jeannie. You didn't even call me and ask me what kind of carpet we was going to put down. You know, that's what gets everybody stirred up. And when I come in, I'm like, whoa, I got to hold on just a minute. I got to get my eyes back under me. But, you know, that's good. It's beautiful. It's good. Everything's wonderful. But so many times we get stirred up over things that make no sense at all. And it ends up hurting the church. But if you look at Acts, if you back up to 4:32, you will see that as they shared their possessions. Now, can you imagine, folks, if we all left out of here this afternoon and we put everything we got on for sale and we brought the money and we give it to the church and we lived in a community on, say, 200 acres or 500 acres. And everybody had the same tent. Everybody had the same everything. And you were taken care of by the church. How would you feel about that? You'd say, Mike, I don't want to be no part of that. I don't want anything to do with that. Because that way it's just not good. Well, it worked for these folks. So let's listen to the scripture, starting with the 32nd verse. It said, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessings was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostle nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, Was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied. This was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husbands are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. And when the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out, buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this scripture this morning, and we see the beginning of the church, and we see the people coming together, they were so united. They were so together. But what had just happened? The Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them. The Holy Spirit was on them, and they knew it, and they felt it, and they knew God's presence was with them fully. Today, folks, we show you things where the Holy Spirit, just like this morning, led Brian to put the scripture on there where, that I was wanting and wishing for. The Holy Spirit is as live today as it was then, but yet we refuse to want it. We don't want it to control us. We don't want it to be in our life. We pick and choose where we want the Spirit to play a part in our life. But these people, they were all united, and they were all willing to give the apostles the money that they had, the possessions they had, that they might all be able to live as one. This is awesome. Now, we know in the beginning of the church, it was no different than it is today. We have people today that are tares that's growing in with the wheat. We have it today. We have it then. We see these tares. These two, they were tares, excuse me, and they were growing with the wheat. And, you know, it was no reason for them to not be in the same accord as all the others. There was no reason that they should not have been willing to go along with whatever was happening. They could just as easily said, you know, apostles, let me talk to you just a minute, apostles. I got this farm over here, and I really don't want to sell it. I'd really like to hang on to it. Maybe we could use it in the church. Maybe some way we could use it. If I keep it, we could grow some things on it. Maybe help the people, you know. So I really don't think I'm going to sell it. I'm just going to keep it, and we're going to let the church use it. Or they could have said, if I end up selling it, I'm not going to give the church the money. I'm going to keep the money, or I'm going to keep most of the money. They could have been up front and told the apostles what their plans were. But instead, they said to the Lord, we're going to be part of y'all. We want to be part of y'all. So we're going to sell this land and give the money to you. They're not lying to the apostles. The apostles really didn't have anything to gain or not gain from it. They're doing the will of the Lord. They're lying to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord. That's who they're lying to. You look back in Joshua, maybe 6 and 7, and I think it's a is the chapters. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's Joshua 6 and 7 when you get home. And if that's not right, Brian can correct me. But, you know, Israel was going into battle. And God told them, said, do not take anything. Destroy everything Jericho has. Destroy it all. There's nothing here that we need. We do not want any of it. But what happened? There was a man, I think his name was Anakin or something of that nature, wasn't it, Brian? And he said, hey, they got some good stuff. I don't think I'm going to destroy all this. This sounds like Mike Wimberly. I think I'm going to bring it home, you know, and keep some of it. It does sound like Mike Wimberly because I love junk. I love stuff. I love stuff that don't nobody else want. That's what I love. It's Ross and Tammy's treasures. When I'm out of here, they go get rich on all my junk. Achan. Achan was his name. There you go. Thank you, brother. And but he took this stuff. And God was so mad because he told him. He said, you're not to take anything. But he did. And it didn't work out very well. Y'all can go back and look at that. I don't mean to get off on that. But this is not the first time that this had happened. So when we stop and we think about, folks, the fact that Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't have to lie. They could have said, this is how it's going to be. We're going to keep the land, use it for food. We're going to let y'all have part of it to grow stuff with, and we're going to be a part of y'all. Everything would have been cool. But no, they lied about it. And they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they lied to God. And we see what happens when we lie. I don't know about y'all. All I know about it is Mike Wimberly. You ever, down through your years, ever said, God, if we could just make this deal, I'm going to live into it, you know. But we don't, do we? We don't. We're not lying to ourselves. We're not lying to anybody else. We're lying to God. We don't do what we know that we should. There's many times that I know that things should have been one way that I would have probably asked God to let it be that way. But I refuse to live into my part of it. I refuse to do what God had asked me to do. And so we know that, as I've said many times, that the blessings that were probably there for me had I lived into it, I never received them. And I know that. I know that. But folks, if we would only listen to the Holy Spirit as he was talking to these people, as they were coming to start the church, as they were coming to give their money and give their possessions so that the church could get started. And the video that we just saw a while ago, you know, the people, and God had sent his son as the head of the church, the head of this people. Then he left us with the Spirit that all of us have access to. We have access to this Holy Spirit. Folks, it's definitely there with you if you know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's there. It is for real. And it's the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. The best thing that I've said many times, that I've ever received. So we know that when they come in and they said, is Peter says to them, is this the price you got for this land? Yeah, that's the price I got for it. Well, they had already conspired together that this was what their story was going to be. This is my story and I'm sticking to it, you know. That's the way we used to tell things. This is my story and I'm sticking to it. I'm not going to change from it. But all he had to have done was not had that story made up with his wife. So they come in and they got this story. And what do you think led Peter to know that he was lying? How would Peter have known what he got for the land? I could have told him anything. How would Peter have known that? The Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit had told Peter that he was lying. I do truly believe that. Because the apostles had received all of the gifts that it talks about in Galatians. They had received all of the gifts. But some of those had not received all of them. Some of them had received some. Everybody has received some gifts. Maybe not all, but I do truly believe that the apostles had received them all. And they could determine who was lying and who wasn't. So he knew that they were lying through the Holy Spirit, is what I think. Now, it doesn't say that the Holy Spirit told him that exactly, but he knew that they were lying. And so he said, as they came, he said, the property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? He's basically saying, Peter's basically saying to him, why? Why, Mike, would you do a thing like this? Why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why would you lie to the Lord? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Folks, it's bad when we lie to one another. But it's terrible when we lie to God. We cannot lie to God and expect God not to take revenge on us in some kind of way. It may be the day we leave here. It may be before. We don't know. That's not ours to judge. You know, we sometimes see people that are doing all kinds of evil things against God, and we say, Lord, why in the world don't you put a stop to that? Why in the world don't you have some something for them right here on earth where we can see it? I'd like to see them get their revenge. I'd like to be watching when all of that took place. That's not for me. That's not for me to see and judge. That's nothing about that for me. He'll do the judging, and he'll take care of all. He'll make the ticket right, let me tell you. It will be right when we get to heaven. When we stand before him, folks, it's going to be right because he's going to say, you know what, Mike? This was the deal. And you remember that deal? Yes, sir, I do. Why? Why didn't you live into it? Why didn't you do the things I asked you to do? Why didn't you take it seriously? And what's going to be my answer? I don't have one. I don't have one. But not only did Ananias do that, but it turned around and his wife done the very same thing. So we see when his wife done the very same thing, Peter told her, he said, and you will be carried out just like he was. He told her she was going to die. He didn't tell Ananias that he was going to be killed or die. But we've seen this all throughout the Bible. If you will search this, you will see that God has sent angels and different things to take people out right at that given moment. So this is not something that's new, folks. But the thing that I see today as we stop and we look at the problems that they had in that early church, it was the people that was so selfish. They wanted their money for themselves. Well, if they had, let's just say they had $10 that somebody else didn't have, what was they going to do with that $10? How were they going to spend it? They going to put it in the ground and then go back and dig it up and it's going to be rotten or it's going to be corroded? Are they going to forget where they put it? What was they going to do with that money? That's what I don't understand. And I guess their thinking was, just like ours is today, that if this church don't make it, if this situation doesn't make it, that we're giving all of our stuff to the apostles and they end up going belly up, then I guess we're going to need some money to fall back on. So I'm going to try to take care of you, and I'm going to try to keep us a little money here. That's a good idea. Let's do that. And that was the conversation that kind of went down between them. Faith in God? No, not at all. Not at all. They didn't have a clue how God would have taken care of them had they been straight up with him, had they not lied to him. You know, a couple days ago, since I hit that turkey with Tammy's car and tore it all to pieces, it's been a deal. She's been riding with me. And we've had some pretty good conversations, really and truly. And, you bet that's right, don't you, Ken? But we've had some pretty good conversations. This morning we had a turkey right beside us. Uh-oh, turkey. I said, I'm on alert. I'm not going to hit that turkey. But we were just talking, going down the road a couple of days ago about how God has blessed us. When we were totally, 100%, not able to bless ourselves. Totally, 100%, nothing. And how God is taking care of us. He's met our needs. He's fed us. He's kept us anything we basically needed and above needs wanted. But we've tried to be pretty much in tune with God. We've tried to live our life pretty much where we serve God and not ourselves. Folks, that's what these people were doing. When you become a follower of Christ, when you become a Christian, when you become one that has given your life to Christ, you have to give your life to Christ. That may mean that you're going to give up some stuff. That may mean that you're going to have to do some things that you're not really interested in doing. And you know what I see today in the church today that we live in? I wasn't back there. I don't know what went on in those days. But I see today that everyone, they enjoy being in church. They enjoy being with their church family. They love the feeling that they get on Sunday morning and on Wednesdays and on any other night that they come together in small groups, wherever it might be. They love it. And they love their church family, their extended family. But yet, when they go home, they turn right around and they do the things that they know they shouldn't do. They do the things that God's not wanting them to do. Well, you know, it's not but 70 mile over at the casino. Let's run over there Thursday night. You don't need to go over. I'm not saying it's going to send you to hell. I'm just saying don't need to go, because that becomes a habit. So you don't need to do it. You know, there's so many things, folks, we do as Christians. There's so many things we spend our money on. There's so many habits that we have that, oh, it's not going to hurt, Mike. I'm going to eat a steak on Thursday night and I'm going to drink a beer or two. That's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's a habit that you do not need. You do not need it, because one thing leads to another. And if anybody knows that better than me, I'd like to talk with you, because I know one thing brings on another, and another, and another. And the next thing you know, you're not in church. The next thing you know, we have problems in the church because I'm inviting Brian to go with me. Come on, Brian, let's go. Nobody ain't going to know it. And I didn't see a soul I knew over there other than that. We'll go. And me and Brian go. And it creates a problem. And that's where our church has picked up problems all throughout the years. I know one night me and Tammy were sitting there at the house, and I got a call and said, Mike. I said, what? They said, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, stop and think about what somebody's telling me. I don't know what we're going to do. I said, what's going on? Well, the preacher's down here at the bar drinking beer and smoking cigars and just having a big old time. Well, my gosh, was they at the bar? I mean, they was there, or they wouldn't have known the preacher was there. You know what I mean? Yeah, we got an issue. And we not only got an issue with the preacher, we got one with you. I said, we're not going to do nothing about that tonight. We'll pick that up on another day. But, I mean, you see, folks, it's all kinds of issues with the church. And it's not always with the people. It can be with the preacher just as well. Preacher's not perfect. Preacher has issues. Preacher's human. But he don't need to be at the bar drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and talking to the waitresses and all that. That creates a problem for Sunday morning. So we see that we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't have the Holy Spirit in us that we want it to be controlling us. We want just enough of it that we can walk around and feel good about ourselves. Well, folks, that is not the way that the church was set up. It's not the way that it was intended. It said that fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. They couldn't believe what had just happened, that both of them had fell dead and that they had taken them out and buried them. They were tore down. Would you be tore down this morning? Sure we would. Folks, we need to every day think about our church. Our church, Grace Life Church, yes, we're a part of Grace Life Church. But you ever think about when you leave and you walk out and you see other Christians, you might not even know, you meet them, you see them, and they're a part of God's church. It's just a different church that they go to. And they're a part of us. They're a part of our community. The other day, I was over in LBL, backside of nowhere, and there wasn't but two other vehicles that I could see, and this truck pulled up, and these people got out, and I went to talking to them. Imagine that. This fella was with me. He said, why do you got to talk to him? He said, that woman not wanting to talk to you. I said, that guy's pretty friendly. He'll talk. And I got to talking to him. And folks, we talked and we talked, and come to find out, she graduated from Sparkman High, where my grandkids did. I mean, we had a whole lot in common. We were really, I mean, we knew a lot of the same things and same stuff, so we had a big conversation, had a good conversation. But what I'm saying is, folks, when you are in this world, don't consider your church to be just Grace Life Church. Look at the people around you. Meet their needs. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Show them that the Holy Spirit is there for them, is available to them. Let them know that if they will only turn their life over to God, if they will only listen to what God has to say, that they don't have to lie to God. He knows their hearts. He knows everything about them. And you know, the day that I really realized that, when I was under the Delta Queen and I was thinking I'm going to drown and I can't get out from under the Delta Queen, ain't nobody here to pull me out, there's nobody here to do anything for me, and I knew that I was just this close to drowning. And the last thing I can remember in my right mind saying, Lord, I do not need to stand before you today. Lord, please have mercy on me. That's the last thing I can remember saying, because I thought I was fixed to be meeting him next. He would be the next person that I was looking at. Folks, that's what happened to Ananias and his wife. You never know. I never dreamed that I was going to get sucked under the Delta Queen. I was having a big time playing, swimming on my back, looking at the boat and having a big time. Next thing you know, I'm under it. You never know what day you may be your last, what hour may be your last. You never know. So we have to be prepared to be with our Lord and Savior. It is as serious as anything that we ever could talk about or ever could do. But folks, please take the Holy Spirit seriously. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. Do not lie to God. God knows everything about you. Just as I knew that day I was under that Delta Queen, He knew everything about me. He knew I did not need to stand in front of Him that day. And He gave me another opportunity. He's given me many opportunities. But that day, we were just right there. And He gave me an opportunity that I'll never, ever forget. Did I change that day? We talked a little bit in our small group about being sanctified. Was I sanctified that day? No. But I've been working on it ever since, trying to get a little closer to Him, Brian. And that's the thing. You're not going to be one day wake up and be as close as you're ever going to be to your Lord and Savior. But you, as you grow your relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as you grow that relationship and you grow the relationship of your church and your church family, and you grow that relationship to love everyone and to be a part of everyone's life, and when they cry, you cry. When they laugh, you laugh. When you do that, you're building up God's kingdom. You're bringing together the church. He is the head, and we're just the extremities that make it up the body. So just think about that, folks. As you go back into the world, think about the early church, how it started. Could you have been a part of that if he had the opportunity? Could you have lived like they did? Or would you have chose to just walk off like the rich young ruler? You know, God said you need to sell everything. Jesus did. And, you know, give it to the poor. Come follow me. Rich young ruler walked off. He didn't believe he needed any part of that. So how would we have been? How would we have reacted? How would we react today? We see us. You know us. You know yourself. I don't know you. I just know Mike. But I know Mike's problems, and he's got a lot of them. He's still working on them. But you know what? God has forgiven me, and He continues to forgive me every day. And He loves me, and He aims for me to come to be with Him. And He wants me to know that I am loved. He wants me to know that He gave His Son for me and for you. Amen. And that's the biggest thing that we can ask for, the greatest thing. But then He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. But do we want it? Do you accept it? Will you receive it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.